Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is a Tuesday. That means it's the 13th day of September 2022. As we have now surpassed the statistical peak of the Atlantic hurricane season, meaning September 10th, 11th, 12th each year is the highest level of hurricane activity in a given year on average. And this year we have only had four named storms. You have to scratch your head and ask the question, how could the so-called climate experts have been so very, very wrong? Now, if you live along the Gulf Coast or the lower East Coast of the United States of America, you know that it only takes one landfalling storm to really F up your area. You can screw up New Orleans with a Category 1 storm that lingers for a couple of days and dumps 16, 17 inches on a city built below sea level. We know this. It only takes one. But this year, prior to hurricane season, on every network, including the conservative networks, every weather station, oh, it's gloom and doom. We have to warn the people. It's going to be an above average year due to climate change. What happened? Did the climate change back? Did it change back so far that we've only had four named storms here on September the 13th of 2022? Initially, the National Hurricane Center, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, you know, so-called scientists, climatologists, those who study for years, decades, get PhDs, you know, doctorates in climate science, they said it was going to be an above average year with up to 22 named storms, possibly more. They thought this might be another year where we ran out of letters of the alphabet. They said there would be 5 to 7 major hurricanes. I hear crickets chirping. Now look, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. Living in South Louisiana, we are a target for such events. And it only takes one. It only takes one. But how could these experts, these people who study the climate for a living, these people who attended a 4-year college and then remained in a school program for another 3, 5, 7, 9 years to get a master's and then a doctorate in climatology, in science, earth science, the atmosphere, how could they be so very off the mark? Now, here's one for my good friends who, like me, feel the entire lie of man-caused climate change is just that, a bold-faced lie. Do you think they could be wrong about man-caused climate change just as well? I've spoken about this topic at length. I've even spoken to meteorologists, some the age of my son, some old guys like me, and a couple of guys who actually teach meteorology at 2 different schools throughout the nation. Some of them will tell you overtly, out in the open, climate change is real. There's an asterisk behind that because the climate, in their opinion, changes each and every day. It changes from season to season. Some years are going to be warmer than others. some years are going to be cooler than others. You never hear the alarm when we have an unseasonably cool year. You never hear, oh my God, it's going to be global cooling. That just doesn't sound as good. We debunked the lie of climate change, the ice age returns, back in the 1990s. That's what these so-called experts, the PhDs in climate science, were saying in the 1990s, the 1980s. The climate is going to dramatically cool, and we are going to enter a new miniature ice age because of all of the chlorofluorocarbons, the CFCs in the atmosphere. We are going to see massive cooling cycles, and the Earth's temperature could drop as much as 30 degrees on average. This will cause unprecedented losses in our crops. People will starve on a massive scale. Oh my God, it's gonna be horrible. Man-caused ice age. And then, when science and reality caught up, you know, actual time went by and there was no ice age, there was no massive cooling of the atmosphere, people like Al Gore, who had sunk a lot of their political clout into the lie of the new ice age, suddenly found some other scientists 180 degrees out of phase. And I'm not talking temperature. I'm talking about 180 out of 360 degrees, as in the compass. They found some climate scientists that said, no. The climate change will not become the ice age. It's going to become the new global warming. The atmosphere is going to warm up and heat up to the point where the temperatures are going to be so high that we will burn up, the crops will burn, and people will starve. Same outcome, different cause, right? That's what they started preaching. Al Gore and his people, well, we're putting so much greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere that the Earth will heat up because the sun and those chlorofluorocarbons that we're pumping into the atmosphere are going to bake the ozone layer that protects us. And that sunlight is going to cause massive heating cycles, and we're going to burn up. The temperatures are going to rise. The ice caps are going to melt. All the glaciers are going to fall into the ocean. And guess what? When those glaciers fall into the ocean, we're going to have massive sea level rise. Now, I and most intelligent, forward-thinking people like you, the listeners of the Truth Hurts program, laughed at this. Because why would a politician like Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero, purchase large beachfront properties if the sea level's going to rise and swallow up the coasts? Why would you buy large pieces of property to make your permanent home after you leave the White House? Makes sense? Why would sleepy, creepy, touchy-feely, mopey-dopey, little girl gropey, muttering, puttering, fluttering, stuttering, stammering, mumbling, fumbling, grumbling, stumbling, tumbling Joe Biden have a beautiful beach house complex on the Atlantic Ocean at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which you and I are now in the process of paying for a $1.5 million fence at taxpayer expense to put up around Joe Biden's waterfront property if he and his family, the very educated and learned Dr. Jill Biden, why would they buy on the beach if the sea levels are going to rise so very much due to man-caused global warming?
Steve Z, I think I have the answer to that question. It's very simple. It's because he is going to fix the climate by making everybody drive the electric cars. And once everybody is driving the electric cars, well, then his property on the beach is going to be safe.
Really?
Do you know what powers the electric cars, Jacques?
No, the wind and the solar, right?
Wrong. Not the wind and the solar. What powers the electric generating stations in America is largely, by vast majority, oil, coal, and natural gas. That's what makes the electric charging juice. You heard me correctly. There are not massive wind farms out there. Sorry, they just don't exist. No massive wind farms. No massive solar farms are generating all of the electricity to charge these electric cars. It's not happening. I'm sorry. The reality is, it's just not happening. California banned oil, coal, natural gas generating stations. They said they're going to generate all their electricity in wind farms and solar farms, remember? This year they had to back off of that because, well, with all of the blackouts, with all of the electrical shortages and such that are going on in the country, in the state of California, they're now opening up the natural gas generating stations once again. Imagine that. They were going to get rid of those evil nuclear power plants. And now they've extended the life of their last remaining evil nuclear power plant because it generates clean, zero carbon emissions energy. No carbon emissions at all from a nuclear power plant. Imagine that. Louisiana has one nuclear power plant. The Waterford 3 nuclear power plant, steam electric station, pressurized water reactor. I helped build that facility working in the metrology, not meteorology, but the metrology lab, the calibration lab. We calibrated the sensitive equipment. I worked in the QA and QC area. We wrote the very, very detailed safety procedures. We made sure that that facility was safe. And they've never had an incident, not a single incident, since going online in 1985, I believe it was. 95, 2005, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 37 years. 37 years, not a single mishap. No pollution. Zero carbon emissions. Electricity at pretty decent rates. And they complained and bitched and pissed and whined and moaned back in the day because it costs a lot of money to build a nuclear power plant because everything has to be thicker and taller and wider and deeper. And everything has to have not one, but two, but three, but four, but five, six, and seven double, triple, quadruple checks. There are checks and balances to make sure that there are redundancies in place in case one part of the system goes down. Something else will back it up to make sure that things remain online. I remember back in 1982 working there. There were guys... They called them the mechanical monkeys, not a racial term. Just the big apes that went out there with giant torque wrenches and torqued down bolts to certain industry specifications. Big grunts. Big men with big muscles and strong backs, taking orders from little people with strong minds and weak backs. Making damn sure that everything was torqued to proper specification because of the high pressure environment in the pressurized water reactor. I remember those guys simply turning a wrench, making $60, $70 an hour, and I said, this is ridiculous. Why are they paying them so much? Well, because that's what the industry would bear. And the cost of a nuclear power plant was very much higher in the end than it was initially projected to be. But now, because it's not burning coal or burning oil or burning, well, gas is fairly clean, there are fewer maintenance cycle shutdowns at a nuclear power plant. When the fuel is spent, you remove the spent fuel, you add new fuel rods, you reopen the plant. In my early days, I worked at what was called the Nine Mile Point Generating Station, a nasty oil-fired boiler. When they shut it down for maintenance because of the heat generated in that giant oven, which basically boiled water to steam and turned turbines and generators, they had to put a crew of very small people into the boiler itself. And to go in there with whisk brooms, dust pans, in paper suits and paper masks and eye goggles to sweep out all of the soot, the dirt, the dust, the rust, the old insulation material, so that the electricians could go in and change out the thermocouples and the other sensors that indicated just how hot it was inside of that oil-burning generating station. Dirty, filthy job. You go home at night, blow your nose for hours. Rust and dust would come out. It's a wonder we all didn't have mesothelioma or some other degenerative lung disease. And who knows, we might. I have never gone to get checked. I just know that it was a filthy endeavor, but it kept the lights on for the people of New Orleans, Jefferson Parish, and surrounding areas. The nuclear power plant built later at Waterford 3 in Taft, Edgard, Louisiana. Very clean, very sanitary conditions. Nothing dirty there, except perhaps those guys who were turning those torque wrenches neglected to shower from time to time. I know I've gotten off the original topic, but I want you to think for a moment. The original topic, of course, talking about the statistical peak of hurricane season has come and gone. And yet, here we are, scratching our heads, asking about the so-called science involved, right? The science that said we were going to have 22 to 24 named storms in the Atlantic Basin this hurricane season. And yet, here we are, beyond the statistical peak of September 10th, and we've only had four. So could the scientists be wrong once in a while? Let's see. The answer, of course, is yes. There are scientists on both or more than just two sides of any issue. Take, for example, the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus that they said was this horrible pandemic that was going to kill everyone. I still firmly believe, not because I'm a conspiracy theorist, but because it just makes sense, that this virus was manufactured in a lab in Wuhan, China. Prior to that, the gain-of-function research used to create this virus was made in a North Carolina lab by people like Anthony Fauci. And then when they got caught, they simply transferred the research and the funding, your tax dollars, over to the lab in Wuhan, China. Nothing on this planet will make me believe otherwise. I hope you understand that. You can hem and haw, and you can talk about men on the moon and who killed John Kennedy. The bottom line is, this Wuhan, China novel coronavirus was created and unleashed, whether accidentally or on purpose is still waiting to be seen. But the bottom line is, it was manufactured in a lab. It was dispersed amongst the people, whether intentionally or accidentally. My first thought is, oops, someone got out of the lab with it, brought it home to their wife, gave it to their kid, who brought it over to the grandmother. And before you know it, because China doesn't divulge any of its information to the public, especially outside of its own country, the thing was out of hand long before we got the first case here in the USA. It was a man-caused virus. The scientists did this. And yet there are scientists who say, no, there's no way that could have happened. No way. I'm a scientist. But on the other side, there are scientists who say, yep, it's very, very possible and very likely. And I say it is because I'm a scientist. The Democrat Party said, follow the science. But the question is always, which science do you follow? I mean, let's be realistic. Both are possible, plausible, but yet scientists on both sides of that argument disagree vehemently with one another. So how do you know which scientist to follow? Myself, I did not follow the climate scientists this year. I laughed and said, no, the Earth is like a giant swimming pool. You have to watch the cycles. You have to watch if it gets really, really hot in the Atlantic Ocean this year. Earth produces tropical cyclones known as hurricanes, tropical storms. It does so because that's the way Earth works. And those tropical cyclones spin out the hot air out the top like a fan, and they churn up the colder waters from the bottom, which helps to cool the upper waters near the top. That's what any first-year high school science kid who has an interest in meteorology learns. It is the tropical cyclones in one body of water that cause that body of water to cool. It's just the way it is. And traditionally, if you have a hot Atlantic tropical season this year, you're likely to not have another hot tropical season next year. It's just the way it works. If the Atlantic is hot this year, generally the Pacific will be hot next year. That's just the way it works. It's cyclical, meaning it works in cycles. It's been this way since the dawn of time. Do we have a couple of years in a row where we might get a few storms in the Atlantic and buck the trend? Yes, absolutely. If you've ever taken a bubble bath, I want you to think about this for a moment. Sit in the tub, a large tub, and fill it with bubbles. Take a bubble bath. With your right hand in the tub, I want you to swish in a circle counterclockwise. What happens? Well, you make a nice little whirlpool, right? You make a nice little bubble whirlpool. What happens on the other side? Not a whole lot. You get some movement, but the temperature in the other side generally stays the same. The bubble pattern in the other side generally stays intact. Now, when you've sufficiently done your swirling on the right hand in the tub with the bubbles, and you stop, now you have this natural tendency to want to swirl with the left hand to get the same effect out of the left side. I know it's rudimentary, kindergarten level, first grade, third grade, fifth grade level, but that is a kind of a representation of how the planet works. Your body is the continents that protrude up and out of the water. Your knees, your body. Your right hand is the Atlantic Ocean. Your left hand is the Pacific Ocean. See what I mean? It's pretty common sense. I know I've gone way down to elementary school level here, but it is what happens with planet Earth. And the scientists will agree. Talk to any meteorologist. He'll tell you, yes. Pretty cool representation. Go out in your above ground 4 foot tall swimming pool. Half the people get on the left side of the pool and start spinning around in a circle counterclockwise. The other half clockwise. A row of people standing in the middle of the pool representing North American continent. There is an effect and a counter effect. It's just the way it is. Anyway, I've spent enough time on that driving through traffic here. The scientists are not always correct, is what I'm trying to say. And it's in any science, pretty much any science. You can talk about medicine. Well, she's got the cancer. We better remove the breasts just to make sure. In one person, that makes all the difference in the world. Have a mastectomy, the cancer's gone. Live the rest of your life without cancer. But in the next person, you remove the breast through mastectomy. Next thing you know, you've got cancer in the lymph node, cancer in the kidneys, the pancreas. There's no exact science out there. We know that if you drop an apple from a tree, it is likely going to fall due to gravity. We've established that. We didn't need scientists to establish that. We just had a guy sitting under a tree and an apple hit him on the head, and he said, hey, I wonder what the hell caused that to happen. And so he got credit for, they say, inventing gravity, but it's more like discovering the principle of gravity. You can measure something with a tape measure 3 feet long. You're pretty sure it's 3 feet long. But if you get out precision measuring equipment, you might find out that it's 3 feet and 0.0065 inches. Might be just a little longer than 3 feet. Scientists can be wrong in every single field. Political scientists especially. Those who are predicting gloom and doom in the midterms for the Republicans now. Suddenly, I guess because the price of gasoline has naturally dropped $1 a gallon, people are going to forget that it went up $4 a gallon. They're still paying way, way above $5 a gallon in California right now. I did see unleaded fuel in Louisiana yesterday for $2.89 a gallon. First time it's been below $3 a gallon in quite some time. Very, very heavy traffic coming to a sudden stop. My apologies, folks. The truck ahead of me, Louisiana custom vanity license plate, JEEPSUX, Jeep sucks. Written on a license plate. It's an actual Louisiana registered license plate. It's on the back of a Toyota Tacoma. You have to wonder, was this guy pissed off at his old Jeep? Or does he think his Tacoma can climb hills better? Sorry. Lots of things going on when you're driving. Anyway, September 13th, 2022. Zero activity in the Gulf of Mexico. Zero activity in the Atlantic Ocean. One small tropical wave coming off of Africa this morning that the National Hurricane Center says might bear watching. So far, every one of the four, not 24, named storms this year have gone out to sea in the Atlantic, posing zero threat to the United States mainland. One of them brushed near Bermuda but did no damage because in Bermuda, let's face it, they know how to build a house. The scientists are not always right, my friends. Just remember that, and everything will be okay in your world. You need to worry about you. Take care of yourself. If you fear a major hurricane season coming... So as I always say, and my apologies for the phone ringing, but when you're doing the program from behind the steering wheel, the old F-250, you have to deal with what comes your way. And since we're recording this episode on the cell phone, that makes it, you know, it is what it is type territory. That's about all the time I have for this edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend. If you don't like what you hear, who cares? Turn it off. Find something else to listen to. This program pre-recorded, and copyright 2022, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. As always, content of this program is protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend. And we've already gone through that. So make it a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye for now. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music provided by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.